Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
GX on Agriculture with Rod McDonald.
Hey, good afternoon. It's 17 after 12, and this is the Wednesday edition of GX on Agriculture. Coming up on the program today, the Western Canadian wheat growers, fresh off their annual convention, was held in Vancouver last week. I spoke with the wheat growers chair, Jim Wickett, this morning. He'll fill us in on their discussions in Vancouver, and also the wheat growers announcing yesterday that they're standing behind the Saskatchewan government and others opposing the imposition of a federal carbon tax. We'll touch on that with Jim Wickett on the program today as well. Also, Mike Hall from East Central Research Foundation joins us on the program today. Mike has just posted a couple of videos on the East Central Research Foundation website about a couple of trials that they were involved in this past year at the Central Research Foundation location in Yorkton. And on today's program, we'll talk to Mike about an oat trial that they participated in. Those stories and more ahead today on GX on Agriculture. The Agriculture Weather Outlook is a presentation of Yorkton Raymore and Watrous New Holland, and Sean Prihika, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
And it's time now for Precision Weather with meteorologist Phil Spivak. And nice sunny day today, Phil, and we're still looking forward to those warmer temperatures.
Yeah, we're not awful today. As far as the cold has gone, we've certainly seen worse. But there is still the breeze, there is still the bit of a chill, so we're going to be waiting a little bit longer for the warmth, but it's all relative again. We've got the sunshine for today. That's making for a pretty nice looking day. Temperatures climbing up through the minus teens. Wind chill still in the minus 20s, but the wind overall southwesterly decreasing from 10 to 20. It's been sitting on that low end through the morning and now into the afternoon. It's going to basically peak next few hours and then ease down, becoming nearly calm by later on. But the diminishing wind is actually ahead of a shift that sets up for tonight. It turns into the north and starts to pick back up. By morning, 10 to 20, but I think just like what we've seen today, the potential is there for 10 to 20, but more often than not, it's going to be on the low end of that. So we drop off tonight to minus 19, with the wind feeling like the middle minus 20s, minus 24, to as cold as minus 29. A few flurries come in as well. A storm system off to our south, just wrapping in a little bit of moisture. This is not going to amount to accumulation of snowfall. It's going to be in the air, just coating things a bit. Flurries dry up by early in the day tomorrow. May see a few still into the mid-morning, but overall, just a fairly cloudy sky, the high near minus 15. That wind, northwesterly, leaning on 10, but as high as 20 for a little while during the afternoon tomorrow. Wind chill generally in the lower minus 20s. We do climb up a few more degrees to close out the week, but we have to get through a cold night first. Thursday night, we drop to minus 25. The sky clears out. Those lingering clouds through the day may start to break in the afternoon, but as we clear out entirely through the evening, temperature bottoms out, down to minus 25. The wind comes down, though, too. Southwesterly averaging around 10. Wind chill still dropping below minus 30. During the day Friday, no weather concerns at all. We'll make a run at minus 12. Areas just off to our south and west, not too far. In fact, could get very close to Yorkton, the minus 10 line. We'll say it's still below average. Even if it's minus 10, it's below average, but closer. And not much wind either on Friday. Looking and feeling like a better day. With a high near minus 12, the wind 10 to 20 means the wind chill at minus 20. Cloud cover returns for the weekend. We'll see temperatures holding near that minus 10 to minus 12 mark on Saturday. Some flurries come in for the end of the day. They linger into Saturday night. Could be a light accumulation of snow. Minus 20, though, on Sunday. Temperatures drop behind this system. It doesn't bring in a blast of cold air as we drop. It does cool off on Sunday, but all it does is reset what's currently our warm-up. so we'll start it again next week, gradually trending upward as the week goes on.
All right, thanks, Phil. Now, turning to this hour's temperature roundup, minus 14 in the Paw. Swan River, Shoal Lake Russell, Hudson Bay, all reporting minus 17 degrees. Minus 15 in Dauphin, minus 16 in Brandon. Roblin, minus 19 degrees. Wynyard, Wadena, Calvington, also at minus 19. Regina, 20. Saskatoon, 18. Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, also at minus 18. Again, Hudson Bay, Shoal Lake Russell, Swan River, all minus 17 degrees. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's mainly sunny. The wind is light west-southwest at about 8. Relative humidity, 68%. Our temperature, minus 19. Factor in the wind chill, minus 25. Yesterday's high and low, minus 11 and minus 26. Normals for this date. Daytime highs around minus 7 with overnight lows near minus 18. The hot and warm, the hot and cold spots in the province are the warmest. Hartley, minus 5 is hardly hot, but Maple Creek enjoyed minus 5 yesterday. Meantime, the Saskatchewan cold spot, Watrous at minus 33. In Manitoba, McCreary the best at minus 7. Brandon, coldest place in Manitoba yesterday, with an overnight temperature of minus 31. Sunrise this morning was at 7:54, and the sun will set this evening at 6:13. Again, our current temperature, minus 19. It's 12:24 now.
Beef and Forage Report.
There were a number of positive findings in the National Beef Quality Audit that was released last year. About 30,000 beef carcasses were evaluated at federally inspected packing plants in 2016 and 2017. Reynold Bergen, science director for the Beef Cattle Research Council, says the number of cattle with horns is now below 10%.
There's a calves getting dehorned earlier in life, which has been a recommended practice for a long, long time, partly because it's way more welfare friendly. It's a, you know, doing that procedure when the calf is young hurts less. It's a smaller wound, recovery is faster, so it's more welfare friendly, but also they recover sooner and their growth performance and health is better.
Bergen says that's also leading to a significant decrease in bruising. He also credits better cattle handling systems, both on the farm and at the packing plant.
Most of those had up-to-date chute systems and penning systems, a lot of which were designed by Temple Grandin. They're designed to minimize stress and injury on the animals. But also, it's on-farm handling. It's people using shaker paddles and stuff to move cattle instead of, in the old days, beating them with sticks. It's better transportation, calmer loading, better driving, all of those sorts of things all add up. Not overloading trucks, reduced horns, all of these things contribute to less bruising.
Dr. Reynold Bergen is science director for the Beef Cattle Research Council. And that's the Beef and Forage Report. It's 12:30 now and time for Ag Review, a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
Corteva Agriscience, the agriculture division of Dow DuPont, has announced that it's acquired the Clearfield canola production system in Canada and the U.S. from BASF. The acquisition enables Corteva Agriscience, which previously licensed the Clearfield canola trait in both the Pioneer and Bivant brands, to expand its position to include out-licensing of the Clearfield trait to other seed companies in Canada and the U.S. Financial terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Grain futures plunged yesterday as U.S. wheat sellers failed to nab any export sales, and traders waited impatiently for news on the latest talks in the U.S.-China trade war. Most wheat futures fell to new contract lows. Grain traders said they were monitoring bearish technical signals as well as falling prices in the global cash wheat market. Oilseed futures also fell yesterday. Canola was down over $2. Soybean futures plunged to a four-week low, and U.S. corn futures followed, slipping to multi-month lows yesterday. Traders said grain and oilseed futures were being pressured by mounting concerns about how much soybean acreage U.S. farmers will plant this spring. As South American weather improves and export competition from Brazil and Argentina shows little signs of waning. Meanwhile, grain futures, crop futures, down again today, but certainly not to the extent that they were yesterday. Asian buyers are snapping up cargoes of wheat from Argentina to fill the void as their traditional supplier, Australia, suffers from a second year of drought. The Reuters news agency reports large volumes of exports to Asia from Argentina could further chip away at Australia's dominance of the region's wheat supply, which has already been eroded by growing Black Sea shipments over the past few years. Traders in Singapore say Indonesia, the world's second largest wheat importer, has booked close to 1 million tons of Argentinian wheat for arrival between February and April, while Malaysia and Vietnam have also contracted shipments. Asia is the world's biggest wheat consumer and importer. Australia's wheat production fell to an 11-year low during the 2018-19 season as the ongoing drought wilted crops. Saskatchewan's Water Security Agency says it doesn't expect much snow in the coming weeks. That prediction is on top of the recent forecast for a below-average spring runoff. If that trend holds true, it would be unwelcome news for farmers during seeding. The agency says the driest areas remain in southeast parts of the province. The next spring runoff forecast will come out next month. A Manitoba company is trying to cash in on the wonders of the Saskatoon berry. Interlake Saskatoons says two U.S. firms want to make products from Saskatoons. Food First in North Dakota wants to develop a Saskatoon-based health bar made with Manitoba-grown berries. In Minneapolis, Step One Foods is sourcing berries from Interlake Saskatoons to make nutraceutical products. Saskatoons are super healthy with twice the antioxidants as blueberries and are high in protein and anti-inflammatory properties. The federal government is contributing over $4.5 million to the Canadian Animal Health Coalition to help update and develop codes of practice for the care and handling of farmed animals. The investment will be divided into four activities, including updating the codes for the care and handling of farm animals during transport and addressing changes in industry practices and in market and consumer demands. Federal Ag Minister Lawrence McCauley says the government investment will ensure Canadian standards are in place and up to date to meet new and emerging consumer and market demands while building consumer confidence about how farmed animals are raised and transported. Federal Agriculture Minister McCauley will meet with his U.S. and Mexican counterparts tomorrow. As we hear in this report, trade discussions will top the agenda.
U.S. relations with Canada and Mexico are in the spotlight this week at USDA's annual Agricultural Outlook Forum.
Mexico and Canada have been great consumers of U.S. ag products, and we enhanced the relationship that we had with them through NAFTA, and I think they can take comfort in that.
That was Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, who spoke in North Carolina last week about the new U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or USMCA.
As I indicated, the steel aluminum tariffs were working to remove those so we can have totally free, tariff-free trade relationships there for the pork industry, the poultry industry, the cheese, dairy in that effort. It'll be a good deal to secure those markets for a foreseeable future.
Secretary Perdue will host Canadian Minister of Agriculture Lawrence McCauley and Mexican Secretary of Agriculture Victor Villalobos Arambula at the Agricultural Outlook Forum on Thursday. This is Stephanie Hove in Washington, D.C.
A second day of protests was planned today around Parliament Hill, where a massive convoy of trucks rolled in from Alberta yesterday to press the Trudeau government to scrap its carbon tax and get pipelines built. The United We Roll convoy began in Red Deer on Valentine's Day and made its way east over 4 days, with stops for rallies along the way. Other signs held by the dozens of protesters backed a variety of causes, including Canadian agriculture and protecting free speech. The leader of Alberta's United Conservative Party, Jason Kenney, says the NDP government's plan to lease rail cars to move Alberta oil to market is too risky for taxpayers. Premier Rachel Notley's plan calls for the province to spend $3.7 billion to lease 4,400 rail cars to make up for the lack of pipelines. Notley says the plan will lead to a $5.9 billion increase in revenue for a net gain of $2.2 billion. Kenney says the plan is a fiscal train wreck. Canadians love their snacks. Alberta Agriculture says a recent study shows the snack food industry is valued at $12.6 billion in Canada. One analyst says there's such a demand for convenience that one-third of consumers replace at least one meal each day with snacks. Mood is also a major factor in snack choices. Some of the growing snack trends include smoothies, seasoned or loaded fries, and veggie snacks, including cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and artichokes. Alberta Agriculture says beverages are the most common snack item, which could provide market opportunities for fruit and vegetable producers. And Tilray Incorporated has signed a deal to acquire hemp hearts maker Manitoba Harvest for up to $419 million in cash and stock, as the two companies aim to launch CBD-infused food and wellness products for North America. Manitoba Harvest hemp hearts, hemp oil, and granola is already in stores such as Costco and Walmart in Canada and the U.S. The company plans to launch a line of CBD-infused products south of the border this summer. And that is today's Ag Review. It's
livestock market conditions.
April live cattle, $129. That's up 55 cents this afternoon. June live cattle, $119.07, up 47 cents. March feeder cattle, $143.82, up 7. April feeder cattle, $145.97, down 2 cents. April lean hogs, $53.70, down $2.82, and May lean hogs, $63.75, down $1.70. And those are the latest U.S. livestock futures.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
Thank you, Harv. It's 12:44 now. We'll check the grain prices next. East Central Research Foundation has posted a couple of new videos on its website. The videos pertain to a couple of research trials the foundation participated in last year. Research coordinator Mike Hall says one of the projects looked at different management practices with oats.
The purpose of this trial, and our version of the trial was supported by locally by the grain millers, and the treatments were looking at oats, you know, and looking at early seeding dates and late seeding dates. So we had May 10th versus June 5th. And then we looked at seeding rates of 200, 300, and 400 seeds per meter squared, and nitrogen rates of 70 and 120 kilograms of actual nitrogen per hectare. And our first expectation was that, well, when we seed the oats early, we'll have higher test weights and yield. And we didn't really get the yield part of that, you know. And normally when you seed early, you often have better yields, but in our case we had much poorer yield. Our yields were lower, where they were 4.5% lower seeding early, and most of that was due to flower blast. So because of the environmental conditions we had last year, when we seeded early, the oats flowered during the hot days, and this caused blast. So you get a bunch of aborted florets, and you get all that white, you know, oat heads on top. And so that had a big impact on our yield, so we didn't really see what we were expecting there. Our second expectation was that when we increased nitrogen rates beyond 70 kilograms per hectare, we probably wouldn't see much of a yield response to that. And we kind of got that, you know, like with our late seeded oats, we did increase yield there still by about 4% for the late seeded oats. But for the early seeded oats, we got a 15% yield increase. But again, that was related to the flower blast. When we had a low rate of nitrogen, we had higher levels of flower blast. You know, when we increased our nitrogen rate, our flower blast went down from 27% down to 14%. So that really influenced the yield response. Obviously, we got a huge yield response to added nitrogen when seeding early, mostly because higher rates of nitrogen helped the plant compensate for flower blasting. And then our third expectation was that increasing the seeding rate will increase yield and test weights of oats. And again, that didn't work out for the early seeded stuff, because as we increased our seeding rate, our yields went down. And again, that was related to flower blast. Our flower blast increased 8% all the way to 31% by doubling the seeding rate from 200 to 400 seeds per meter squared. And what's happening there is that, you know, we just had more competition for resources, you know, like interplant competition for moisture, and that really brought on the flower blast. The other thing that could have been going on there is, you know, when you have low nitrogen rates, or when you have high nitrogen rates and you decrease seeding rate, that sort of delays flowering, and potentially flowering was delayed out of that hot period of weather that we had, and that might have been the reason for those things reducing flower blast and actually increasing yield. But for our late seeded oats, it behaved more typically. You know, we didn't get a yield response to increasing seeding rates, but we definitely got a strong test weight response. So test weights went up as we increased seeding rate. So that was more of a normal response. And the reason for it is unclear. We know that it happens, but we don't know why. And it could be related to seeds of different sizes, you know, packing together better, or might have something to do with the size or the space between the group and the hull. We don't really know. But we do know that increasing seeding rate does tend to increase our test weight. It's also, you know, a good thing to do for hastening maturity, which is a good thing to do in light of not having a pre-harvest roundup to help with harvest management. So, you know, despite the results we got from this study, you know, we still recommend, you know, early seeding is a good approach. You know, it's usually, you know, makes you flower during cooler temperatures, but last year made us flower during hotter temperatures, so it didn't work out for us. The other thing about seeding early too, again, is, you know, getting that crop off in good shape so that it's being harvested in good weather, and which is really important because we don't have pre-harvest as a harvest aid tool. So it was an interesting trial. We didn't really get the results and just sort of that, you know, that you would typically expect, but it just goes to show that environment is everything. You know, Mother Nature is going to tell you what's going to happen out there.
On tomorrow's program, Mike Hall will have some details of a wheat profitability study that the Central Research Foundation also participated in this past year. It's 10 to 1 now, and we'll check the grain prices coming up next.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are down again today. March, 471.50 a metric ton. That's down 220 from yesterday's close. May canola, 480.10, also down 220. March, Minneapolis wheat, 550 and a half a bushel, down 5 cents. March, Kansas City wheat, 454 and three quarters, down 6 cents. March, Chicago wheat, 482 and three quarters, down 7 cents. March corn, 371 and a half, up 1 3/4. March soybeans, 902 and three quarters, up 2 cents. March oats, 270 a bushel, and that's unchanged from yesterday's close. And those are the latest grain prices. It's 7 now before 1. I had hoped we'd get to Jim Wickett with the Western Canadian Wheat Growers on the program today, but we're running a little short on time, so we'll hold Jim back and have him join us on the program tomorrow. Finally today, Saskatoon-based spraying expert Tom Wolfe has been speaking at many producer meetings this winter. One of the more interesting stats he shares is that only 45% of a farmer's time is spent spraying. 22% of the time is devoted to transport, with the remaining 33% on a variety of steps, such as cleaning and filling the tank. Wolf says spraying at the right time is key to preserving a crop's yield potential.
Being really efficient with your time while spraying helps you be on time when you have to be. And in analyzing some of the data from some of the equipment manufacturers, and you know they do monitor all of the hours and all the pressures and all the things that you do, we can analyze that and say, look, actually we're spending less than half of our engine hours actually spraying. We're spending a lot of time loading and cleaning. We're spending a lot of time transporting. How can we reduce that? And that time will become spraying time. Remember, the sprayer's probably going to run only on a day when it's a good spray day, right? So we should be spraying on that day. And we find that most of our efficiency improvements are actually outside of the spraying operation per se. We can double our acres per hour, for example, just by spending less time, wasting time not spraying.
Another point Wolf emphasizes is following spraying's basic best practices.
It's our responsibility to put spray where it belongs. It's our responsibility to improve our spraying operations so that the non-farming public can have faith in our stewardship practices that we always talk about. So spray drift is a very important one. It is on the radar of all the regulators worldwide, so we want to make sure we're not causing it. And then even runoff and contamination of water sources, maybe by just draining the tank out or the boom ends onto the ground, that's a high concentration of material, and that can create some other kinds of problems. So we are writing our articles to try to just find ways of helping people do better.
Tom Wolf is with Agrometrics Research and Training based in Saskatoon. He has 30 years of research experience in the spraying business. His website, www.sprayers101.com, focuses on practical advice that's research-based to improve the efficiency of producers. It's 12:58, and we'll close out our program today with GX94's precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, and Russell regions. Partly to mainly sunny this afternoon. Wind, south-southwest, 10 to 20, high minus 14. Becoming cloudy tonight, wind northerly, 10 to 20, overnight low, minus 19. Continuing cloudy tomorrow, wind northwest, 10 to 20, high minus 15. Sunshine back on Friday, wind south-southeast 10 to 20, high Friday minus 12. Then looking into the weekend, increasing clouds Saturday, 30% chance of late-day flurries, up to minus 12. Early flurries Sunday, then becoming partly sunny. Temperatures falling during the day to minus 20. On the temperature roundup this hour, minus 14 degrees in the Paw. Swan River, Shoal Lake Russell, and Hudson Bay all check in at minus 17. Minus 18 for Indian Head, along with Broadview, Mooseman, and Saskatoon. Minus 19 in Wynyard, Wadena, and Calvington, and Roblin. And minus 20 in Regina. Brandon, minus 16. Dauphin, minus 15. In the Yorkton-Melville region, it's mainly sunny. The wind is west-southwest at 8. Relative humidity, 68%. Our current temperature, minus 19 degrees. And that's our time for today. Join me again tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for GX on Agriculture. I'm Rod MacDonald.